Blog Talk Radio.
I'm about to reveal the tales of your life. Too many secrets are locked inside your mind, but you're all equal in life, equal in love.
I know you're gonna dig this.
All right, let's go. Hey, yo, this is John from Hip Talk Radio. You're listening to Paranormal Talk with my homegirl, Annette Jones. Make sure you keep it locked for tarot card reading. A lot of interesting stories going on here. Paranormal Talk, Annette Jones. One love.
She was a fast machine. She cut the moon and green. She was a thousand-damn woman that I ever seen. She had a thankless eyes telling me no lies. Knocking me out with those American thighs.
Good evening, everybody. It is July 7th, and this is Paranormal Talk. I'm your host, Annette Jones, and it's the first Tuesday of the month, so, of course, we have the lovely and talented, charming Tim Link with us tonight to talk to your pets about what's on their minds and any problems they might be having. So join me in welcoming Tim Link to the show. Hi, Tim.
Hi, great to be here, Annette. How are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. Been busy and going to be busy for a while here, but, yeah, it's all good.
Good. Well, hopefully it's a good and productive busy.
Yeah, we won't get into that.
Goodness. Well,
so how have you been? Are you still on tour with your book?
We are. Well, we came off the the road a couple of weeks ago, so we've had been an interesting year so far. As many of you know, we've had the book and gone on book tour, and we got back from our early summer stop. The last place we went to was San Diego, so we had just a wonderful tour that we went to places like New York City and Dallas and Denver and San Diego, Phoenix, and the book was very well received. We got a lot of accolades about it, and it keeps growing from there. And so now we're looking at the back end of sort of the late summer, early fall part of the tour. We'll be up in Columbus, Ohio on August 15th and 16th, doing a speaking signing event at the Columbus Zoo on the 15th, and then Unity Church in Dayton, Ohio on the 16th. And then I've been invited to several book festivals this fall to do some speaking at the festivals and doing some signings there as well. So we'll be busy throughout the rest of the fall till the end of the year promoting the book. And so if everybody wants to keep up on what's happening and all the tour sites and stops and events, the best way to do that is go to the website, which is wagging-tales.com. wagging-tales.com, and check out the events and opportunities to see me in person or hear me on TV and radio. Also, you can sign up for the free e-newsletter, which comes out the first of every month, which not only keeps you abreast of all the events that I'll be participating in and speaking events I'll be doing, but it also has two or three helpful hints in there, tips and things and advice that you need to know about your pets and how to build the best relationship possible with them. And the e-newsletter is absolutely free. So just go on to wagging-tales.com and sign up, and we'll be glad to send that out to you.
All righty. Very cool. Okay, so for our topic of conversation, before we get into the readings tonight, I wanted to talk about how to care for your special needs pets, you know, pets that have chronic conditions like diabetes or, you know, if they're blind or deaf or paralyzed. You know, I know they have little doggy wheelchairs that you can put your dogs in so that they're still mobile. But I just wanted to talk about that for a little bit before we get into the readings.
Well, absolutely. You know, having a change in a pet's health and is one of the toughest things you have to go through, because you have to, first of all, deal with the emotions that the animal's going through, but the emotions that you're going through also, wanting desperately to help your animal. Having an animal communicator help you out is definitely a great idea, because, like myself, I can actually communicate with the animals and tap into how they're feeling and what's going on and what they're wishing and wanting from you, so you can actually put those steps into place and help your pets out. So that's where I come into play, and we can do individual consultations in order to be able to determine how your pet's actually doing and what they need. But special needs pets, you know, I think there's the thing that I would say to that is the fact that there are special needs pets, but keep in mind that they don't want to be treated like a special needs pet. They want to move on with their life and continue to do the things that they are supposed to be doing, the things that they're put here to do, and continue to move forward with their lives. So, you know, I've experienced this personally this year alone. As many of the listeners know, I've got two standard schnauzers, and they're brothers from the same litter, and they're just wonderful parts of our family and provide us a lot of love and attention, but also they help me with my work and help me discover new things that I can teach people about and tell them about. And one of my schnauzers in February developed what is called SARDS, S-A-R-D-S, and that's a sudden acute retinal degeneration. And basically it's where the particles inside the animal start to react and start to attack the rods and cones of the animal's eyesight. So it's one of those things that's really undetected and unpredictable, something that the animal doesn't really realize is happening. And me as a communicator, I had no idea this was going to happen either, because the degeneration happens overnight. So one night he went to bed perfectly fine, running around, seeing everything. Everything was great. And the next morning he was totally blind. So here you have a dog that is, you know, sort of the alpha of the pack, and he has now has to start to rely on his other senses more readily. But the interesting thing about it is his adaptation of what's going on happened rather quickly, and he really only went through a few days, if not a week, of really having any issues. But once he figured it all out, he gets around as well or better than any dog I've ever seen.
Right.
But to help him along, what we had to do was sort of safeguard the house a little bit and put some things out to help him out. So, for instance, we have a stairway, and we develop terminologies and visualizations showing the stairway, and using words such as the word easy lets him know to take it easy going up and down the stairs. And so he walks to the edge of the stairway, he puts a paw out, he identifies that it's a stair, and he walks down, but he does it in an easy motion. No longer does he run up and down the stairs, he does it gradually. So he takes his time. In order for him to avoid bumping into corners of the wall and into doorways, there's various scented oils, essential oils, you can put at the baseboard of each of those doorways and hallways using a different scent based on which doorway and which hallway you're putting it in. So the dog starts to identify what that scent is and knows where he or she is at.
Okay.
So there's some things there you can do. We have various baskets that we keep news clippings and magazines and different things in that's sort of, you know, stationed throughout the house. We make sure that those baskets stay in the same locations at all time, as well as all the rest of the furniture. But we place some of his soft cushion toys around the edges of the basket. That way, if he happens to go astray, then he just casually bumps into one of the padded toys instead of bumps into the corner of the basket. So the key behind it is, you know, he's starting to use his other senses more. For a dog, you know, their sense of smell and their sense of hearing is always more important and always more powerful than their actual sense of sight. So adapting to it has been probably more traumatic for us than it has been for him. And so, you know, there are things that you have to go through that you just have to get used to.
Right.
And, you know, our same dog just recently, over the past couple of months, we've been struggling with trying to get his kidneys built up. He'd had some kidney issues, and we've been working on getting those built up. And fortunately, we have the kidney counts up to close to where we need him to be, so he's having less and less problems. But through this whole ordeal, he's now developed diabetes. And so
we caught
it early enough. I know he's had a tough year, but you know, we've identified. It took us a couple of weeks to get the amount of shots and the amount of insulin adjusted, and he gets two shots a day, spread out 12 hours apart, and he's doing great with it now. His water intake is less, his lethargy is better. He's more active than he's been. His things like his appetite has sort of gotten under control, whether before it was real ravenous, and now it's, you know, sort of it's under control, and he handles his steady diet. But it's been an adjustment for us. But for the most part, he's taken it well, and life goes on great for him.
Right. So, what would you say is the key for dealing with an animal that does have special needs? Is it, you know, working closely with the vet and just paying close attention to the animal?
Well, I think it is. I think it's trying to identify it early on. So whenever you feel there's an issue, whether you see the physical issue happening, a change in the physical appearance or a change in the physical behavior of the animal, or whether it's a sense that you have that there's something going on, the best thing to do is seek help, seek advice. I can help as an animal communicator to try to identify some of these, how the animal's feeling and what's going on with their bodies, but then taking that guidance and going to your veterinarian and checking it out, doing the test, doing the things you need to do. And then once that's identified, then making sure that you've put everything into play, whether it's a special diet, whether it's a special medication, whether it's a special device to help them walk around or to get along like they normally do in their lives, put those things into place. And then most importantly, explain everything to your animal. Explain everything to them. Let them know what the situation is. Let them know what they need to do about it. And let them know why it's going to be okay. Reassure them.
So, and how hard is it to get them used to getting the shot every day?
For us, it's been no problem at all. He's walked up. We make it a special time. We tell him that it's medicine time. And he walks into the utility laundry room that where we keep all the food and kibble and the medication. And he sits down, and we tell him what's going on. And you just simply pull up the skin slightly. You stick the syringe in. I rub his ears while my wife Kim puts the shot in.
Be the bad guy.
Oh, she is. I tell you, that's one thing. She's the expert at that, because we've had to deal with this with rabbits also. We've had in our lives, we've had rabbits, and these rabbits that, you know, typically live 8 to 10 years, our rabbits have lived 15 to 16 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and we've had three different occasions where they've developed diabetes because just of age. And we've had to give them insulin shots. And one rabbit in particular, we had to do this for 2 years.
Yeah.
So it's more of a, you know, he has handled it extremely well. He gets a nice special attention. He gets a rub on the ears. I talk him through the situation. He gets a shot. He gets a little kibble or a little treat afterwards.
Okay.
His brother is right there beside him to help him out along the way to supervise. And he takes it like a trooper. And I think it's one of those things where, you know, in addition to identifying it early, putting the steps into play, talking to him, let him know what's going on, and then making sure you feel confident about it. Put your worry aside. Put your fear aside. Put all that away, because he's handling it. He or she's probably going to handle it much better than you do.
Right. Okay. Now, we do have a caller on the line, and this is the person that sent in the photo of the two dogs at the lake. And one of his dogs does have diabetes, so let's pick up this call. All right, caller from area code 801, you're on the air, and I'm sorry, I don't remember what your name is.
Oh, it's Bob. Thank you for,
Bob,
picking up on all that. You know, what you've just been talking about has been exactly textbook the same as what I've went through with the one white dog in the picture. As soon as he hit about 8.5 years old, I take him in once a year in April for the wellness test with all the blood work, everything else. April 10th, the glucose was like 111, should be what, between 80 and 130, something like that, 70-something.
Mm-hmm.
And by April 28th, I get up in the middle of the night and the dog's been so sick, he's just out laying under the tree. And I knew right then, well, I think I went through this many years ago with another dog that got sick, and once they start laying out, that's about it. So, you know, I did end up at the overnight emergency vet, and I think I was very lucky to find a guy who knew about this problem, and he was in ketoacidosis, and he says, well, I don't understand, because it usually takes a dog 2 or 3 months to get like this. And I showed him the paperwork where the dog tested fine April 10th, and by April 28th, 29th, he's on IVs and everything else. But like you say, the good thing is that with the insulin at the 12-hour intervals, if you keep that, I found out right around 6:30 for me, the dog does extremely well, and, you know, he's in the living room now. But, boy, I'll tell you, I still wonder how the dog thinks about all of that. It's just amazing.
Well, it is. You know, it is one of those things where if you get them on the proper, if you get the right balance and you get the right medication into play, then you are going to be okay. And the dog feels okay about that. He understands that, you know, it's not time.
He's taking it well, yeah.
Yeah. It's not time for him to go. He's still got a lot to do. He needs a little bit of help. It is an adjustment in the schedule, and you know, it you have to keep monitoring it to make sure that you got the right balance.
Yeah.
But if you get him on the right food regimen, you get the insulin in on a regular basis and have the right balance of insulin, then he'll be fine, and he'll continue to do his great work, and you guys will have a great life together.
That's what I was thinking, because I've had him back a few times since, and he's tested between, well, they actually had to cut it down one. He was down to about 40-something.
There you
but
go.
But the last couple of times, it's like 80, 82, and 102, so, you know, I'm just trying to keep him right level there.
Well, that's the key. Just keep it level, keep it identified, keep testing it. Once you get a balance, you'll be in good shape, and you won't have to test as frequently. But just make sure that, you know, that the routine and everything stays into place. If there's some sort of an adjustment or he starts to feel a little bit off, then, you got to get it tested again and make sure that that the levels haven't changed. Because animals are just like us. Our bodies adjust.
What do you think about, well, even on your own dog, the eye problems? You know, I've talked to the vet that has done several of these, I'm sure. And he just says, well, they're going to cloud over. Could be 2 months, could be, you know, 2 years, whatever. But he says, just like I'm old, short, and bald, the dog will probably end up losing his eyesight. And I read on the web that's not necessarily true either.
Well,
any feelings on that?
Right. Well, I think that it's not necessarily true.
Yeah.
You know, with my dog, it's a little bit different. The SARS situation has nothing to do with the diabetes.
Right.
So there's no nothing we can do at this point. There's no cure or anything for
right.
it. But with the eyesight with the diabetic animal, there has been some success with some surgeries in there.
Cataract stuff.
Cataracts, yep. Cataract surgeries and getting some of the cloudiness out of there.
Now, I have a question about diabetes in pets, too. Do they suffer from the same things as people do? Like, do you have to take special care of their feet and their kidney function and their eyesight and things like that? Is it the same with pets as it is with people?
Well, it is in the fact that you've got to catch it early on. If you catch it early on and take care of it, you're going to not have those issues such as the kidney failures and the feet sores and the things that we typically see as humans.
Yeah.
See, the challenge is the animal knows how to take care of themselves. And second of all, once we set up a routine and a regimen for them and we stick to it, then they're not going to have the same amount of issues that we would have as humans. The challenge with us humans is we never stick to anything. You know, we get tempted by the sugar cream pies and eating a little bit, a bad meal, and we say, oh, well, we'll catch up with it later. Well, the challenges are we don't catch up with it, and we don't exercise, we don't do the things we need to do, and that's when you start having those additional issues.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will say, I thought my dog had really picked up on some of the problems he might have had, because I don't think he's interested in some of the food he used to eat, to tell you the truth. He takes a hard sniff at stuff before he eats it now.
Exactly.
I wonder.
Yeah, it's a very smart thing. You know, animals are just like us in the fact that if we listen to our bodies will tell us what we need.
Yeah.
And we just have to stop and listen to it. Our animals are very in tune with themselves.
Right, because wouldn't some of the old food make him ill now?
Well, yeah, I really sloughed off. If I stopped at Carl's Jr., I bought them each a hamburger. I wouldn't give them the bun. I'd just give them the meat. But if you start adding up the grease on that even more than a few times a week and do that for 3 or 4 years, I'm sure it didn't help him at all. The other dog whizzed right through it, but I don't know if that's part of what catches up. But genetically, I hear at 8.5 years is what about he is now, that if he had a problem, it would have showed about then anyway. So I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know,
and he won't touch that stuff now. He doesn't like it. He might eat it, but, I mean, he doesn't go after it, so to speak.
Right. Well, that's why, I think that's why it's important to, you know, try to keep them on your diet. Try to keep them, in the things that they should be doing. And I think at that point, he's going to be great. You know, it's all, you know, we'll spoil our animals anyway from time to time, but just let's keep it to a minimum and realize they're counting on us to give them the right things.
Could I ask you one more thing I put on the email just because I have no idea on?
Sure.
And that's the Lab Shepherd mix with the tooth. I know that I've had a couple of different vets say, well, it was cracked up there. Okay, get it fixed, pull it, do what you need to do. But I get the dog in there a couple of weeks ago, and they said, you know, we x-rayed this thing, and the nerve looks healthy, and everything looks all right. He says, I think we're just going to let this go. And I'm wondering, I guess dogs can have a chipped-off tooth, and it doesn't bother them, so to speak.
Well, I think they have to weigh whether how severely the chip is in the tooth, and is it impacting the gum or impacting the nerves in the tooth. So it's just like us, we can have a slightly chipped tooth as long as it's not impacting the nerves or the gum. The key is, though, is proper dental hygiene. And so, you know, if you're not continuously monitoring that and brushing his teeth or allowing the dentist to do a cleaning at least once.
Well, she got all that done. The shepherd just did, yeah.
Okay, perfect. Well, let them monitor it. Let them, you know, keep a close eye on it. You'll know if it starts to flare up because you'll start to, you know, check the gums every once in a while, lift up the lip and check her gums out. And if it gets, if there's any change at all, then you want to get her back into the vet, maybe even take a look at taking her to a specialist.
Well, it sounds like I'm heading in the right direction with them anyway.
Yep, you've identified it, and you've got a course of action, so big kudos there. Just stick with it, and let's just try to avoid, for all of us, try to avoid as many Carl Juniors as possible.
Yeah, I've really cut down myself.
It's tempting, though. It's tempting.
Well, I've been there enough. If the bank looked at my debit card, they'd send me to Jenny Craig, but what can you do? Send all the receipts, geez.
Yeah, when you start receiving holiday cards from Carl Jr., that's when you know you're in trouble.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, hey, thanks for your time on that.
Thank you so much. Thanks for coming in. Good luck with everything.
Yeah.
You have a nice evening. Okay. We don't have any other callers on the line, and that is unusual.
Yeah.
So if anybody is listening to the show and you have a pet you want him to talk to, the number to call is 646-915-8522. 646-915-8522. And please remember, you can only call in during the live broadcast. If you're listening to the archive program, it's a little too late. You can wait till next month and try it again at the beginning of August. But for now, 646-915-8522 if you're listening to the live broadcast. Well, let's go ahead and talk about Copy then. What's on his mind?
How's his belly doing? Has he had any problems at all recently? Because his stomach feels a little tender tonight.
Does it?
He didn't get into Carl Jr.'s, did he?
No Carl Jr.'s for him. Now, he did get a couple of shrimp the other day on the 4th, and he had a seizure that night, so no more shrimp for him.
Yeah, shrimp's not a good thing. You know, shrimp's one of those things that animals really shouldn't be eating. You know, it's full of iodine and some of the other things in there that mm-hmm. it's harder for them to process. But still, yeah, Bill's a little tender tonight.
Well, as far as I know, he's okay today. He was outside in the heat all day because I had to go somewhere, and he refused to come back in the house.
Aha. So he like him being outdoors at summertime. Summertime in Texas, you know, copy's a trooper, that's for sure.
Well, it's like he was waiting for me to come home. He didn't want to come in until I was home.
Wow.
Or
well,
something. I don't know. That's what it seems like to me, because my sister was here, and she tried to let him in, and he wouldn't come.
Well, obviously, he was watching out for you to make sure you got home okay, and there was no reason to go inside without you you know, being around so he could enjoy being outside. But overall, he's feeling pretty good about everything. He liked all the attention. Did you have quite a few people over for the 4th?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
We had a few, and we've had company all the time here recently. We've had company almost every single day.
Well, okay. So, and he seems to be handling that fairly well. Is he keeping his distance and sort of doing his own little thing?
Oh, he likes the people that have been coming over, so it's not been a problem. So these are people that, well, you know, it's my daughter, who he loves and adores, and then my cousin, who he also likes a lot, and, you know, people like that, people that he knows already. He hasn't been introduced to any strangers lately.
Well, then he, he thought that was great fun, and I think that he's, it's something new, something different, so he liked that a lot, so he wants to know, he'll want to know when the next one is, that's for sure. but yeah, I think we need to stay away from the shrimp, and I think we'll be okay.
Yeah. Well, we thought maybe the excitement from the 4th did it to him, too, because he was running up and down the yard, I mean, constantly, and he didn't sit down. He barely took a drink of water, and he was just, I mean, constantly running and barking and throwing a fit. He lost his mind. Because we live out in the country, you know, and it's legal to shoot off fireworks out here. So they were going off all over the place, all around us, and he lost his ever-loving mind. So what do you think about all of that?
No, it was big fun for him. It's he normally lives a fairly calm and predictable life for the most part, mm-hmm. which is good, and because that's a big change from the past. But he seemed to really, and it really surprises me, because I feared he would go, he would be a little bit upset with too much activity going on. But he seems mm-hmm. to really like that and wants to know when they can do it again. So. he's ready for the next holiday, so get the grill ready and get the fireworks out.
Oh boy! Yeah, I'm not too ready to relive that experience again. All right, we still have no callers, so why don't you go ahead and talk to Angus? Gabby is not here tonight. I don't know what happened to her. But I know she has some questions about Angus, so see if you can't talk to him and see what's going on with him. And by the way, while he's connecting with Angus, just if you want to see the photos of the animals that Tim is speaking to tonight, go to www.mytarotdreams.com/pets. It's mytarotdreams. mytarotdreams.com/pets. And you can see the photos that have been posted for that for the animals that Tim has spoken to tonight. So what's Angus got to say?
Yeah, now has Gabby had some issues with Angus recently? He seems a little bit out of sorts.
Yeah, I think that she's still having some issues with a little bit of the separation anxiety, and he's been biting the other animals.
Yeah, he seems
pulling on their tails and stuff. I think that's what's going on.
Okay. Yeah, he seems really kind of out of sorts. with things right now, and I'm wondering if it has to do with a change of routine or if it is a is just something that's energy just feels off. And he seems to be really irritated with everything right now.
Mm. So, well, Gabby has a new boyfriend.
Okay, that could explain it. So if the new boyfriend's been around a lot, that's going to be a new energy. And so we need to make sure Gabby is telling telling the dog about what's going on and what this new person's all about and what she needs Angus to do. Mm-hmm. And make sure that's being done. Because that can definitely throw, if you have a new person come into the house and you haven't explained that new person, then that's going to throw everything off.
Right. Okay. Let's see. I mean, I got nothing else to talk about tonight.
Well, you know, one of the things I wrote an article recently. You know, we've got a full moon tonight.
So I've
been asked, and I wrote an article recently that's out there on the internet, and talking about how the full moon impacts our animals and impacts our people as well. So, you know, as you know, with a full moon out, there seems to be a lot more activity out with people during that time.
Mm-hmm. There's usually more arrests for domestic violence and bar fights and things like that during a full moon.
Exactly. So the police force is out hot and heavy. The emergency rooms are always hot and heavy during this time because there's a lot of activity there, unfortunately. And even as far as there's the thought pattern that if you have to have a surgery, don't have a surgery during a full moon because the blood flows more readily through your body during a full moon. Thus, it could have some issues with excessive blood flow during surgeries. Now, I don't have any scientific fact on that one, but that's some of the latest studies and latest things I've been hearing. So it's fascinating what the full moon does with humans. With our animals, it's very similar. You know, when we have an animal that is, let's say, a wild animal, then they use that time with the full moon because the full moon obviously brightens the skies, makes it lighter. So thus their grazing period when they're out hunting or out grazing on grass or whatever it may be, the night becomes longer. And so they're out there more. They're out earlier and they stay out later. So you're going to see a lot more wildlife and a lot more activity during a full moon. You're also going to see some of the wild animals become a little bit more adventurous. They'll start to explore a broader area than their normal territory. And that's why we'll see a great deal of wildlife, such as raccoons and possums and deers. There'll be an excess amount of them that are killed on, say, the roadways because they're exploring further out of their territories because they have the full moon there and the brightness of it to expand it. So if you're out and about tonight, be extra cautious when you're out driving on the roads because you're more likely to see a wild critter cross your path during this time. And we also see, with our domestic animals. Our domestic animals will typically be a little bit more alert during a full moon. Sometimes they'll have want to stay up or outside a little later. Their activity level is usually a little higher. Now, you couldn't tell that with my two schnauzers. They're just laying here sleeping. But but for the most part, they will become more active, maybe a little bit more restless tonight as well. So if you see that happening, just blame it on the full moon and know that it's impacting your animals as well. So there's a lot of things that the full moon does that we don't necessarily recognize. We always hear the folklore of all the crazy things that happen on a full moon.
Right.
But part
the
of that
werewolves.
Exactly. Get the werewolves and everything out at night.
Yeah.
But part of that legend, part of that folklore is, there's always some degree of truth behind it. And that's where some of that comes from. Our animals do become quite a bit more active during a full moon, and they do expand their territories, and they get in a little bit more mischief. So be cautious about that, and otherwise just enjoy the full moon.
Okay. And we do have another caller on the line. Let me go ahead and pick this up. I think I know who it is, but let's find out. Caller from 407, you're on the air.
Hello, how are you? My name is Karen from Orlando.
Oh, hi, Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hi there, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you tonight?
Good. I have a dog. His name is Scooter. He's a tricolor Pomeranian. And I wanted to know if there's anything that I should pick up on that I haven't.
I'm picking up a little bit of allergy thing going on. Does he suffer some allergies?
Yeah, he just started getting allergies, and I switched his food.
Okay, good. And is it a country? What kind of food did you switch it to?
I switched him to California Balance, the chicken and rice.
Okay. And how's he responding to that so far?
It's a little bit difficult because sometimes he likes the dry and sometimes he likes the wet, and he's finicky. I think he has a sensitive stomach.
Okay. Yep. I think you're right. I think he has a sensitive stomach. I think he also has some food allergens. I think that brand is an excellent brand. I would keep a close eye on it if you switched it recently.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes animals that have some food allergies, they have difficulties digesting certain foods, and one of those foods sometimes, or two of those foods sometimes are chicken and chicken proteins.
Oh.
And rice, which is white rice more so than the brown rice or the wild rice.
Oh.
So I wouldn't automatically go ahead and switch him back to, switch him to something else, but I think it is important to monitor that. If you don't see any improvement, then
uh-huh.
let's slowly move to a different type of food, maybe something that is more of a bison or a lamb based, a trout or a salmon type based, and make sure that the grain ingredients are like a brown rice or something of that sort.
Yeah. The other question I have is I'm single and I had lost a pet prior to getting him, and I know when I always take him to the park, he always gets really excited about when there's children around and stuff, and he wants to be a part of that group. And I always feel guilty because me being single, you know, he doesn't have that type of atmosphere, so I try to overcompensate. And he runs to anybody. It's like, you know, look at me, like he has lack of attention, which he doesn't.
Well, I think that, you know, getting him involved in everything and getting him out there, mixing it up with some of the other pets and with some of the other animals and people out there, I think it's a good thing for him. So he's not upset about anything. He just wants to mix it up a little bit. So don't feel sorry. Use it as your opportunity to get out there and mix it up a little bit.
Yeah. I just kind of think maybe
he has a lot of love to give.
Oh, I think he's a show off.
Yeah.
But thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks
Have
for calling, Karen.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. Okay. So now some people do have animals like that take to other people and other animals real easily. I do not. Now, can you give me some tips on some things that I can do to make that go easier for Copter?
Well, I think that, you know, I think it's one of those things where you want to allow Copter to socialize more and perhaps let him get you out there more. And even if you're not, you know, an extrovert type person to go out and mix it up and get out and see people, it's a wonderful opportunity to build bonds and build relationships. So I'm not saying it has to be anything serious, but yeah, it's sort of like the old, the single guy walking the dog around and using the dog as a tool to meet women.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go quite that far, but it is something where our animals.
Because I don't want to meet women.
exactly. But you know, it is one of those things where you have to, it's an opportunity for you to sort of have Laucopter to get out there, meet people, see people, mix it up with other animals, and at the same time you can enjoy that as well. So yeah, I think it's important for animals to socialize, and I think it's
Well, my point is, because he doesn't take well to other people or other animals, how can I kind of introduce him to it without getting him hurt or me hurt or somebody else's animal or another person hurt?
Right.
Because,
well,
he can react very strongly at times. He has tried to bite a couple of people, so... That's what I'm a little leery of.
Right. Well, first of all, if you're going to start introducing him to other people and other animals, then you first have to get your own confidence up that everything's going to be okay, that there's not going to be an issue, and so you don't need to worry about it anymore. So that's the first thing, is get that in your mindset and make sure that you know that everything's going to be okay. I think the second thing is you want to start doing it slowly, introducing him slowly to it. So in controlled environments. So if you're taking him to a dog park, for instance, then walk him on the leash on the outside of the dog park, not allowing him to interface directly with the people, but start doing it gradually. Then once he gets more accustomed to that, then you can take him inside of the dog park itself on a leash and get him accustomed to that. Then to the point where he's getting more used to being with other animals, and make sure that he's comfortable and safe around that. So you just sort of have to do it, you know, get yourself, your head wrapped around it first and feel confident about it, and then you get to the point where you can start slowly introducing him and migrating him into those situations.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there are no more callers, so I guess we can go ahead and wrap things up if you're ready.
Okay, wonderful. That is fine. Well, you know, once again, just for anybody listening to the archives, check out the website, which is wagging-tales.com. That's W-A-G-G-I-N-G-T-A-L-E-S. And that'll tell you all about all the things I have going on. Sign up for the free email newsletter, which is chock full of helpful hints and advice for you and your pets. And also check out the new book, Wagging Tales, Every Animal Has a Tale. And that's available at your favorite bookstore or at your favorite online retailer. So check out those as well. And it's a great book, 32 stories of animals I've worked with, and 24 helpful hints. So thank you. So it's a lot of fun.
It's a great book. It's a great book. It's a quick read. Also, for people that don't like to sit down for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours to read a book, it's a quick read and one that you can go back and read again and again and again and never get tired of. And so pick that up at all major booksellers.
Excellent. And that's it. Until next time, we'll be on the, as always, the first Tuesday of every month. So
next month will be August 4th. Tim Link will be back.
So come and check us out on August 4th. Send in your pictures ahead of time, and you can call in or join in the chat room, and we can answer your questions about your pets and have some fun with it. So it's a great opportunity to get a sort of mini consultation, and I'd be glad to help you out.
Okay. And so join me next week on the show when we're going to have a ghost hunting group out of Washington, D.C. They've got some interesting stories to share with us. That's next week, July 14th at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central Time. Same bat time, same bat channel. And let's see. Thanks for being on the show tonight, Tim. I really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. And thanks for having me on. It's always great to talk to you, and we'll talk to you next month.
Okay. So good night, everybody. Thanks for listening, and I will see you all next week.